Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, the one we worship this blessed day. Amen. Our text today is the gospel reading, these two parables of the seed that by the power of God produces a great plant. We pray, Lord, you promise that whenever your word is proclaimed and taught, it will not return empty, but will accomplish what you desire. We know your word has accomplished great things for little Harper today through the water that word has washed her, cleansed her, given her faith, and made her your very child. And so may your word that we hear now bless us and strengthen our faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what happens at First Lutheran Church? What really goes on here in the church? Well, there are many answers one could give. What happens at the church? What goes on at First Lutheran? What do you guys do there, neighbors may ask you? Well, there are a lot of answers. We worship, doing that right now. The key thing is we come to the house of God and we worship. We pray and we pray and we sing and we sing and we sit and we listen to the word of God and we confess our sins and confess our faith. We have baptisms. We have communion. We will come up and eat the body and drink the blood of the Lord. What grace and mercy. We worship, and apart from that, we can meet, and we can talk, we can plan, we teach in our school, in our Sunday school, we can laugh together, cry together, work together, be a church family together. We do all of that, and we do a lot of sinning, too. We sin a lot, but there's double the forgiveness in our church, always. How would you describe your church, what we do here, what happens here? Well, in the gospel lesson today, Jesus tells us two very simple parables to teach us what happens in his kingdom, what happens in his church. Parables about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God visibly right here on earth is the church. We are the kingdom of God, the church. And he's teaching us what happens in the church. What ought to be happening in the church? What's the church all about in summary? And from these two parables, there are two things that happen in the church, and this is the kingdom of God. There is sowing, and there is growing. And that's the church, in summary. Sow and grow. That's the motto of the church and the kingdom of God. Say with me, sow and grow. Quite simple. First of all, from the two parables, and there are other parables about agriculture that Jesus teaches too. He loves that theme of agriculture and the old creation being a teaching model of the new creation that he brings. But there's sowing going on in the church. The two farmers in the two parables, they sow seed. They sow and they sow and they sow seed. And so in the church, we sow the seed and sow the seed and sow the seed and sow the seed. What does that mean, Pastor? Go out and throw some seed on the ground? No. It means that we teach and teach and preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. For the gospel's the seed. Does it look like much? A little seed? There's no power in that. It doesn't amaze me in any way. It's a little ugly seed. Yet it has the power of God to save people and give new life and create a whole church and save everybody and take us to heaven. And so what's the church about? We have pastors and teachers and Sunday school teachers and day school teachers. And we have parents, it's your job too, to teach and to teach Jesus Christ, to teach the birth of Jesus, to teach the miracles of Jesus, to teach the teachings of Jesus, to ever teach and teach the cross where he died for the sins of the world, to teach the forgiveness of sins in his name, to teach his resurrection and glory, his victory over sin, death, and hell, his ascension, that he will come again. Christ is what we teach and preach. And that's sowing the seed upon the hearts of each other, our children, and we would take it to the whole world. Teach and preach. If that's not happening in the church, there's something wrong. And we're not really the church, and we're not sowing the seed. Some very obvious, simple things to mention here. If you're going to sow seed, you have to have seed to sow. To tell people the word of God, you must know the word of God yourself. And have seeds in your pocket or in your heart or in your mouth to tell other people about, share with other people. So there's a teaching of being the word yourself. You got to have seeds to sow them. So be in the word and know the word and study the Word and know the Word so you can take it to other people. And part of our problem is that a lot of us don't know the Word that well, so we never take it to anybody else because we don't know it that well ourselves. We don't have seeds, so I can't cast any seeds out there. I don't have the seeds myself, hardly, Pastor. Well, study and learn the Word of God. Also, the farmers in the parables, they plant a lot of seeds. They don't just plant one or two, and that's their day's work. There's a liberal spreading of the seed upon every ground. And farmers know some ground probably isn't going to produce, but we'll leave that with God. I'm just here to throw the seed out there in season, out of season, to proclaim the Word of God upon all people, no matter who they are, what they've done, just to spread the Word of God. We are very liberal when it comes to teaching the gospel. We are a liberal, liberal church when we teach and teach the gospel of Jesus. And we do it liberally upon every heart, that all may know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And be sure, church, to actually plant the seed. Because only the seed will give life, to only teach Jesus and Him crucified. That's the only thing that's going to give people life. But we get impatient, and sometimes the church tries to plant stones in the ground. Stones, I mean the law. Let's forget about Jesus and let's teach the law more and teach people 7 steps how to improve their life, 19 steps on how to have a better marriage, 20 steps about how to lose weight and be healthy. Let's just teach about a lot of law and we'll try to improve people's lives temporally. It's planting stones, and stones don't grow up and do anything. You just end up having guilt because you can't follow any of the steps, let alone 19 of them. And they give no life when you just preach the law and steps on how to improve your life. And the church is tempted also to, the seeds are not working somehow, we think. So we'll plant candy in the ground. We will make it all fun and entertaining for everybody and have lots of fun and entertainment and maybe get Jesus in there somewhere. But we'll plant candy for fun. And candy doesn't produce any life either, does it? Be sure, church, you plant the seed, and the seed is Jesus. And if I don't teach and preach Jesus Christ and forgiveness, and you need to yell at me, and Pat, you can give me a little boot now and then, if you're not hearing enough of Jesus Christ. He's the only thing that's going to create life and faith. Only that seed. And finally, before I move on to the growing, be sure, church, to actually plant the seed. And that's some hard work to get out in the field. You got to go out. Can't do it in your home. You got to go out in the field a little bit and actually plant the seed. It's hard work. Don't just talk about planting the seed. Don't just plan on planting the seed. Don't have a lot of meetings and conventions on planting the seed. But actually go out and plant the seed. And preach Jesus to people. And I found we talk a lot about this. We plan to do this. We study to do this. And we have conventions and meetings about, oh, we got to be better witnesses. But we never do it. Just all talk. We actually got to do the hard work of planting the seed and teaching Jesus across the world to our children and neighbors and co-workers and inviting them to church so they hear it again and get planted in their heart again. I read where Kansas State University, is John Hoffman listening? He's from Kansas State, I think. John's in the back. And they had a study at their university, a very interesting study. They studied chefs, cooks, and they found out that if chefs or cooks, if they don't wash their hands thoroughly when they make food, they have a greater chance of contaminating the food they prepare. Now, isn't that enlightening? Wow! How long was that study? How much money on that to figure out if I have dirty hands, I contaminate the food that I touch? My goodness gracious, wow! Thank God for that information. Just pure stupidity. Duh! And my point is that in the church, sometimes we study stuff and analyze stuff. And we study that world out there. And we study, the world is sinful. Every culture is sinful. We don't believe. We don't want God. We don't love God. We stray like enemies. It's quite simple. Quit studying this stuff and actually teach of the Savior who saves people. But we like our meetings and we like our talk and we like our studies. And when are we actually going to be the farmer who goes out and sows the seed? And then, besides sowing, the wonderful part is the growing. And this is what happens in the church. There's the growing and growing and growing of that little seed. that grows into a wonderful plant that even the birds can come and nest in its shade. It's so big. The little mustard seed recalls the smallness of the beginnings of Christianity. The little mustard seed recalls Jesus conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary back in Advent. So small. The Son of God, a little bitty one-cell baby in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit. And then his birth, so small. What can this baby possibly accomplish on this earth? Born in a manger of all places. And then he's one man walking on this earth over there in Israel, a little portion of the earth. He just walks around that area, does some miracles, teaches. It's all so small, it seems so insignificant. Then the seed is buried on Good Friday. Ah, the seed dies. The seed is buried. That's not the end. On Easter, the seed rises. And the gift of the Spirit comes at Pentecost. And now by the power of God, oh, the vine and the branches. Christ is the vine. We are the branches. And oh, he gives faith to the church. And the church has grown and grown and grown into a massive tree for 2,000 years. And now there are millions and billions of Christians. We wish there were more. Thus we have a mission. But oh, the grace of God to save so many billions and billions and billions of people in the last 2,000 years. How the tree has grown. And we produce great shade for the Gentiles. For all the people to come and find rest for their souls in the shade of the church, which is teaching and preaching the love of God and the mercy of God for sinners. And the important thing here is, how does it grow? How's this little seed grow into such a big tree? Does the farmer have some special technique he uses? The farmer have some special strategy? Does some other farmer have some special way of doing this? No. He just sows the seed. Who causes it to grow? God does. And that's the main point. I will bring forth life. I will cause the growth. I will do it. My word will not return to me empty. God produces the growth. The growth of the church in numbers over the years, the growth in our own hearts, the growth for little Harper today, a new child of God. God produces the growth. He gives faith. He keeps me in the faith. He helps me grow in love and grow in faith and grow in understanding and grow in wisdom. God does it. I don't know how. The parable one says it. I don't know how it happens. It just happens by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he does it. And these parables give great, great comfort to Paul Buscher. And I know they gave you comfort, didn't they, Pastor Couch and Pastor Schultz? And to teachers in our school and to parents trying to teach their children about Jesus. Sometimes it doesn't look like it's working. The kid's not getting it. The people aren't getting it. What's happening? God's saying, I'll give the growth. Just be patient. I will give the growth according to my will. You just keep planting the seed. I will make it grow. Trust me. And so what's the church do as God gives growth? Well, we pray like crazy. I preach in a farming community when they plant the seed and they pray like crazy for rain. And they pray all summer for rain. God, you make it happen. We can't. We can't do anything else. You just cause the plant to grow. And we pray like crazy as a church. God, proclaim this word to the ends of the earth and cause it to grow in the hearts of people. May it grow in my child's heart, in my youth's heart, in my neighbor's heart. Cause it to grow. We pray like crazy, like a farmer does. God, make it happen. And secondly, what do? We're patient. Growth doesn't happen overnight. And the one parable says that. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn. There's a progression here. Don't become impatient with each other. Don't become impatient with your children when they sin, with a church member who goes astray. Exercise patience. God's working. Call them back home, yes. But be patient as we grow in our faith and love. And above all, what do we keep doing? We keep planting the seed. We keep sowing the seed and teaching of Jesus all the way until the Lord comes back, and we never stop. No matter who tries to stop us, what government tries to stop us, the devil tries to stop us, whoever may try to stop us, they will not stop us. For God will build his church and the gates of hell won't stop it. And so we keep teaching Jesus Christ no matter what people say, what they do, how they react. We teach and preach Jesus Christ, and we plant the seed, and we wait for God to give the increase. A story to conclude. A true story. Cute one. A man says, wandering inside a pet store, I stopped in front of a bird cage to admire a parakeet. We watched each other for a few minutes before the parakeet asked, "Can't you talk?" Kind of cute. And I think we have a world out there that is in a cage. And they're in a cage of their unbelief, their fears, their worries, their guilt, their trouble. They're in a cage. And they would, in their own way, say to us, "Can't you talk, Christian? You're a Christian. Won't you open your mouth and tell me about your Jesus? You have hope. Tell me about your hope. You have joy. Tell me about your joy. You believe in heaven. Why do you believe in heaven? You have forgiveness. How do you know you have forgiveness? Open your mouth and talk to me and show me the love of God. Don't just look at me as if I'm some kind of oddball in a cage. Would you love me? Have mercy on me and talk to me and plant a seed in my heart that I might know your Jesus too." A lot of people out there that are in a cage and they're waiting. Can you get me out of my cage and save me? Lots of things happen in the church and the kingdom. In summary, may this be a place where there is sowing and where there is growing. And that's it. Amen. We stand. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.